This is an interview with Larry Notash. This interview was conducted at MiraCosta College, May 16, 1973. The interview was conducted by Ernest Wing, a member of Dr. Mellon's oral history class.
On the reservation at the boarding school.
How was did you get your early education on the reservation?
Only about sophomore or junior year, about a year after. My father and mother live out there right now. So, but basically, I got an education in the open center.
Okay, then you didn't live on the reservation until you were older?
Right.
Did you travel around a lot since your father was in the Marine Corps?
Uh-huh.
Were you ever in the South?
Yeah.
What part, North Carolina?
Huh?
North Carolina.
Yeah, I've been out that way. Plus, I have a friend living in Georgia. You know, he's from Britain a lot. But, you know, like I said, you live about 4 years in Oklahoma, too. And I think a little Dixie, you know, it's kind of... You know how it is.
Yeah. What Indian nation did you come from?
You want to try that?
Right.
Well, see, my father is Navajo. My mother, she's Choctaw from Oklahoma. So, you know, half Choctaw, half Navajo. And I'm in between.
So. What's your full Indian?
Right.
Okay. tell me, did you... as you know, I've encountered much prejudice as a kid.
Yeah, especially when I was going to school. Most of we jumped back Oklahoma back and forth, you know, from base. And you know, it is, you know, when you're small, you're a little kid, you know, and then Indian, you know. So, you know, I learned to live with it, you know. So, but you know, most people I meet, you know, you're not prejudiced, though, you know, so it's pretty nice. But you know, especially in back in Oklahoma, you know, I went to my elementary school here, you know, and you know, there's going home a white state, you know, down right, you know, so it's kind of segregated, though, you know, kind of. But you know, see, they had the black one and one school and the white, so I live near. In white school, so they have to go to white school.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it is kind of... They actually mistreat, but you know, the way it acts, you know.
That you can tell and feel.
Yeah, you know, when, you know, like yeah. Somebody trying to tell you something, you know, he's speaking to you, you know, so...
Is Oklahoma really that bad? Because I know they have a large Indian population in Oklahoma.
Yeah, but see, I'm from the southeastern part, you know, kind of near Arkansas. And, you know, it's not Indian, but you know, most of them go to school, you know, kind of. They don't want to go to school, you know, can't afford to go to school. So this is way country, you know, they live out, they still have outhouse, stuff like that, you know. So.
Well, did you go to a primary or an all Indian school, or was it fairly mixed?
Well,
now when you went to Oceanside High, did you encounter much prejudice at the Oceanside?
No, it's better. Really, you know, really nice place to go. You know, like, you know, blacks, Chicanos, whites, Samoans, you know, it's pretty balanced out, you know. But, you know, I didn't see, I know there's prejudice there, but I didn't see, you know, among the students, you know. Well, see, I used to hang around minority students, you know, I don't used to hang around a minority, maybe, you know. So, what I see there, you know, the only prejudice there between, like, against blacks, Samoans, among themselves, you know, that's what I see there.
Yeah, you think this is basically because of the Marine Corps base being
Yeah, that's what I see, because, you know, they're on invasion, they never prejudice on the base, you know, like, you know, right here, you know, riots and all that stuff on the base. I think, you know, influence the students in a way, you know. That's what I see. Like, the big comparison from, you know, Oklahoma to here, because you can say everybody, you know, together in a way. So, you know. It's a big change, though, if, you know, when I graduated from there.
And let's talk about your growing up in your family life. Did you basically grow up into an Indian culture or to a white culture?
Well, when I was growing up, I was in an Indian culture. But, you know, ever since my father's a Marine, you had to move around, you know. From Indian culture to, you know, the civilization, I say. Not white culture, civilization, like, you know. You know, it's kind of... when you go to school, you have to meet people, you know, kind of change your whole, you know, structure, you know, it's kind of changing in a way.
Were your parents really strict on you or anything like that?
No, not really. But, you know, kept me in line, you know, so, act a fool, but it was pretty nice. So, you know, except when I was small, they kind of kept me down, you know.
What about your father now? I know being in the service, you're still a minority, a pretty good minority, really, because there isn't that many Indians in the Marine Corps. So, you know, and did he see much prejudice against him?
Well, see, I'm pretty sure he did, because he's been about 26 years. You know, when he first started, you know, when he joined, I know he had some kind of prejudice, but I guess the Marine Corps kind of, you know, mellowed out or something, you know. He used to have segregated rank a long time ago. And plus, you know, but now I think it's kind of mellowed out, though. But he used to talk about the stuff, you know, when I was a kid, you know, talk about my mom, you know. Uh-huh. You know, I left it out there on the base, you know. But, you know, I think it's probably different now.
You say you were in Georgia at one time, your father was stationed there?
No, I met a friend in there.
And how long did you stay there?
Oh, I stayed the summer there.
How did you like it?
It was okay. Nice weather down there.
So you didn't get much static from the people?
The part I went to was in a black and Indian section, you know. Where I didn't go, you know, it was in Athens. Where I didn't go, you know, on the other side of town, you know. But, you know, I just stayed there, you know, around the general.
Did they have a pretty large segment, Indian segment in Georgia?
Well, I'm not too familiar with there's, when I was down there, you know, they had a little club, you know, for Indians. So I think, down there, they don't have too much voice in their government, you know. I mean, you know, they can't stand up, you know, but they had quite a few Indians down there.
Did you say you were in North Carolina too at one time?
Yeah, June, old man.
Now, I know they have a large Indian segment.
Yeah, that's one of the second
around there.
That's one of the second biggest tribes in the States.
That's what I thought. And from what I understand, that the Indians get treated pretty well around there, because they get hostile if they don't.
Well, I live in the base, you know, because, you know, if you know, you've been to Virginia, I'll just come 4 hours. So I get associated too many Indians up there, you know, more than one or two,
That's because you stayed on base instead of in the
Yeah, there was a terrace and all the housing, base house.
Yeah.
You only stayed out there for 6 months, and you got as well as what, a mountain.
But where did you live after that?
Well, seeing back in Oklahoma, my father just boarded overseas, we moved back to Oklahoma. Then, you know, seeing back, every once in a while, I get ordered to go back there, you know. So we stayed back there. About 3 or 4 years.
Okay, you said you lived on the reservation.
Yeah.
What is life like on the reservation?
Well, when I was there, well, let me explain something first. Reservation was an empty desert, quite many of them. Like, it's my grandmother's house. It's my grandmother. She only had about one room house, you know. And it's out there, no place. The nearest neighbor is about half a mile away. And this is like desert. Like, out there, you know, they had sheep, you know, they great sheep out there, but there's no activity going on. So you just sit on the sun, you know, go out there and hold, you know, get all the weeds out of the corner. That's what I did for years. It's like day and night from here. Like, that. There's nothing out there, just nothing to stand, go out there, and all we do is go out there, you know, nothing to do with the fence, you know. And there's no dry water bed there, just go out there and just throw rocks and water, you know. Nothing going on. Plus, there's no transportation whatsoever out there. The old dirt road, the nearest town is it's a window rock. That's about 3 or 4 miles away. And that's kind of one cow town, you could say. I didn't like it myself because there's nothing to do, just sit around, And that's why they should have more activities or something, more interesting, something to do on there, Just like just waste a year of my life sitting out there in the sun.
Wow. Since you were raised mostly in cities in your early life, it's the reverse for most Indians that come from the reservation and can't adjust to the city. You went from the city to the reservation and found it hard to adjust.
Well, I can see that's why after school here, my father got 90 acres back there, so I'm going to go work that, so I make some money and go.
You think it'd be hard for you living back there?
No, not right now. But I already started booming out there, in Arizona. Ever since we got, the water in it now, we started growing crops and stuff. So I'm looking forward to go back there.
Is this your first year in college?
It's my second year.
Second year in college?
Yeah, I got a knock on grant from out here.
How do you find college here? I think, from what I said, you're the only Indian student in the college.
How's that?
Since you're the only Indian student in this college, is it hard going to school here being in India?
No, I don't think so, because, I got other friends, So,
You haven't ran into any difficult instructors or?
I first came out here, I couldn't come out here because I was out of state and I had to pay tuition. That's the only problem, I had. So I had to pay my own tuition for the first semester. Then I got the scholarship from out here.
Was that easy, the scholarship?
I had all kind of problems, But, it took me took the first semester before, got a response, So I paid, first semester, Then I got it, just putting the work out here, so pretty nice,
Have you ever went to the BIA for Indian? Anything?
No, but I'm planning to file a complaint against an old employer, for discrimination.
Through the BIA?
A book for it, Civil Rights for the Native American.
Uh-huh.
And I think I wanted Escondido, some kind of lawyer, to check him out.
What happened for you to file a complaint against you?
You haven't written in 3 years,
Where is it at?
At the harbor, Cape Cod out there in the harbor.
Uh-huh. Oceanside Harbor.
Uh-huh. Then, I'm here for 3 years, and this other guy come in. He wanted to start a week, and then he got, kind of took over my position, See you later, But, you don't like being on my case, anyway.
Does the other guy white?
Yeah.
And your employer is obviously white.
Yeah, he's from Texas, So, where he comes from.
Did you get any hassle up in the 3 years from me?
Yeah, every day I go in there, you're late 5 minutes or, anything, I'm not doing something right, and he won't, show me kind of how to do it, and I know I'm doing it right, And he's, he's trying to make me quit, and he succeeded. There's about lots of people pass through that place, but he's kind of one way,
Did he ever make any reference to you being an Indian?
No, but he don't like minorities. But, there's other black cook, she was about the same time, And, she kind of talked behind her back, all the phrases he used, I won't say it.
Oh, you can go ahead and say them.
He's kind of swear, you work for him, kind of passing back right there, kind of put a front on. when you leave, man, he's talking about you, you know, that, you know, he even started an accent, you know, like, I think he's funny, but he's not.
Does he come out with those kind of jokes and things like that?
Very believable. You know, I've been talking to the waitress sometimes. Talking all kinds of stuff, you know. Especially when he gets drunk. I mean, he comes in and gets drunk, you know, and kind of come back here and talk kind of jokes, you know. Most of them got raised, but, you know, kind of. So.
And you're planning on filing the complaint?
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to any other Indians about the BIA?
My brother's going to get us. I've been talking to my brother about, you know, they sent him a van to go to Chilapa or Arizona for, you know, for school, you know, vocational school, boarding school. And I've been talking to him about that, you know. Plus, there's only one other Indian family I know. And they kind of adjust to the white society, you know, they kind of don't consider themselves Indians, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I like to, you know, be recognized as Indian myself.
Do you have any friends that have that difficulty trying to live as a white, in white society?
An Indian friend?
Yeah.
Well, I don't meet too many Indians out here.
You know any in Oceanside?
I know, one family, but, you know, they kind of wealthy, though, you know, they don't kind of, just, they kind of just got into social, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, lots of half, Indian half Chicano, you know, they would understand what I'm talking about. See, I would like, on this college, you know, I would like to see more Indians, but.
Yeah, that's true. Do you ever get really lonely being the only Indian?
Yeah, I do. When I first came around here, I used to go out there and buy my orange juice and just go on that, sit on that bridge, you know, just looking over the hospital over there, you know, just lonely.
Wouldn't it have been better if you had went to, say, maybe a bigger college where they did have a
knowledge? Yeah, I was thinking about that. That's why, you know, I still got a chance to transfer over, you know. But since I live in Oceanside, plus, you know, I like to draw, you know, plus it's got a fantastic engineering thing over here, vocational to do. That side point right here. But, yeah. This college is not very, lively, though.
Yeah, it's kind of conservative, too.
Yeah, right, mean, you know. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know how to explain it, you know. But I actually more. I wanted to see if there's more Indian. I would start a little Indian club, you know, like the San Diego. They got a from the downtown San Diego, a little Indian association. You know, kind of give me some ideas. But if I start a club, I'm the only member, you know.
Yeah, I've ever thought about going down to San Diego and joining the clubs and things like that.
Yeah, I just go to after the meeting at San Jacinto College out here near him. They use that, it's called California Indian Association. I go out there, you know, when they have a meeting, you know, they have workshops out there, you know. And I go out there, you know, to, you know, talk, you know, talk among Indians, you know. And I try to make an Eskimo deal because they got a little California Indian thing out there, you know. So I go, you know, talk to them. That's why I'm trying to, this summer, I'm gonna go out there to Commonwealth, this Native American class at college. I'm going to sign up for that, you know.
Yeah, they don't have any such classes here at the Mariposa, do they?
Well, they got a multicultural class at night, but I can't make it at night, you know. But, you know, I don't know what it is. Mostly, it's really all races, you know. It's not one definite thing. Like, you know, I got all kinds of Indian books, you know, like to read, you know, like the Barrett Moon and Me, you know, you talking this, you know. I enjoy reading those books. But, you know, I would like to get something started here, but no members, you know.
Yeah, it would make it difficult, really.
Yeah, but that's why I'm going to go to Arizona State, you know. See, the government's going to pay my way anyway. See, I'm going to spend it again for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to transfer over there, so I'm going to get back there.
Do you Do you consider yourself a militant Indian?
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, you really believe that you are being screwed by the government and white society in general.
Well, it's passage, but yeah, they kind of forgot, you know. Like, you know, I started more than one knee, but, you know, I had to go, you know, I really have all my stuff ready to go. But, you know, when it, just, they should have a National Indian Day, they got a Black Day, you know, Afro Black Day, or, you know, week, something like that, you know. But, you know.
Yeah, here at the college.
No, you know, they're National Black Day, or National, or some day like that.
Yeah.
But the only time you get recognition here, you know, that they have a shootout police or a or something like that.
I was getting ready to say, do you think that the Indians, like the blacks in Chicano, need to get more militant in order to get their rights?
Yeah, because obviously, you know, they're not getting their civil rights, you know, kind of been discriminated against, you know. Well, part, you know, it's on the Indians' fault too, because, you know, they kind of shine on or something like that. They should go up there and speak up.
You know. Do you think now that the Indians are going to a stage that the blacks went through and that the blacks couldn't get themselves together until they start having pride in being black?
Yeah.
And do you think the Indians are going through the same thing now?
Well, ever since this wound of me, they start, you know, people start, you know, the Indians among themselves, you know, they start to say, hey, we're Indians, you know, let's act like Indians. So, you know, see, most Indians I know, they turn to alcohol. Because, on, especially on the reservation, it's forbidden to have alcohol, but they have it all the time, especially my aunt, my dad, you know. So, yeah, I hope that, you know, I'm really want to, you know, try to get something going for the Indians, you know.
Yeah, you think now they'll stop the, trying to be white and be proud of their Indian, and try to get something for the Indians?
Well, I say majority of them, but, you know, they always have, you know.
Your apples, as they call
them. Yeah.
like Oreos.
Like Oreos and coconuts.
Yeah.
But see, my brother's in the reservation. He's coming out, you know, for with my brother's graduation. And then he's a really militant, you know. And he wears all kind of patches and all that. But, you know, he wants to start something for the Indians too, but, you know, I don't know how to go about, you know, trying to get something together, you know, so it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah. I was asking about the BIA earlier because a lot of Indians I talked to down San Diego and San Diego State College had dealings with the BIA, but they talked pretty bad about it because they said that it offers you financial aid, but nothing else.
All the BIA does is make you look good. I'm not from the BIA, but I'm from the Navajo, but through the BIA. Sure, they give you scholarship, but they don't give you no small support. You know.
This is what I heard other Indians say. They said they give you scholarships and money, but it just ends at that. They don't keep track or see how you're doing and things like that. And
they kind of lose interest in it, you know, just like herding sheep or something, you know. Kind
of. Do you think this is because it's mostly staffed by whites?
No, they got some Indians in there that, you know, think that, you know, they're making the money, so why make money, you know, make the job easier, you know.
Indians that think white.
Yeah, Applejacks. Because, you know, that's what they had about, let's see about it. I don't know how long ago they kind of wanted to, you know, Indians in the BIA, you know, let the Indians take over, you know. They got Indians running it, sure, you know, make it look good. Of course, the BIA interfered. They had Indians make it look good, though. But I think it's mostly influenced by the government, though.
Like the Department of Interior.
Yeah. That's another thing, you know, kind of obsessed with. They got to move it out of the Department of Interior. That's for parks and stuff, you know.
Do you think they should just form a completely different a department and make it an Indian department?
They should
stay
have
up and ran by Indians.
Yeah, they should have a big old tribal council, like from each tribe represent, you know, from Washington, you know, government, you know, funded. And, you know, if you go from there, you know, like have a different department, like the state, but, you know, most people, not just from you know, select from the whole, you know, like represent from each tribe, you know, like the big tribe, like Navajo, like, you know, maybe more represents, you know, stuff like this, like have a big old conference.
Sort of like a government of their own.
Yeah.
That would make and set Indian policy.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, checking up Indian history, you know, they had it, but, you know, the, like the governor said, they never have an Indian nation. The Indian nation, you know, completely out. They're not run by the government now. So, you know, I'd like to see, you know, more Indian-orientated government, you know, among themselves instead of getting ruled by, the government. So the government has to give them money anyway, you know, make it look good, you know.
Do you think that that the government will have to do something about the Indian problem, or there will be more?
Oh, yes, yes. Especially Oklahoma. I like to read magazines, you know, and it's starting, you know, it's sitting, one senator said it's sitting on a, you know, powder keg and blew up any time, you know. It's kind of a situation, you know, kind of, you know, very tense, you know. And then, if you don't do something, you know, it might explode, you know, you know, have a revolt or something, you know.
Do you think that in the future, in the near future, that there'll be riots like the Blacks Head and Watch in New Orleans and things like that with the Indians?
Yeah, because I feel it's building up, you know, like at Mundo Niño. You know, people start to realize, you know, let's say, they're discriminated against them, you know, kind of poor condition reservations, like I've seen, you know. And in general, it's kind of, you know, getting worse, you know. The government trying to pull them off, but, you know, you can't keep a good man down, like you said, you know.
Do you think that, as the Nixon administration has said, that this administration has done more for the Indians than any other administration, do you think that's true?
I see it this way, though. Nixon, he had no choice, you know, to make it look good, ever since, you know, he has to, you know, kind of get leaner, you know, kind of keep himself in office, you know. But I wouldn't know really about that. It probably is because of, I think, you know, McGovern wouldn't do something about that. I think Nixon just said, you know, he cares about Watergate, you know, getting off the hook.
Yeah.
You know, he don't care, you know, like he like McGovern, you know, I've seen his policy, you know, he had, you know, afraid about, you know, better condition reservation. So maybe just kind of front because he's from South Dakota, you know, he got the Sioux Nation in there. So I couldn't hardly, I couldn't answer that question because I wouldn't really know.
There's been a tendency in the last, I know, the last 5 to 10 years of movement of young Indians from the reservation to the city. Is this trend continuing?
Yeah, well, you know, glad she's a statistics in the, you know, movement, you know, all that.
Why do these young Indians move from the reservation? Nothing to do?
Yeah, like I said, you know, I got there, sit around here, and, like, there's no job, no opportunity to advance themselves. So they're out there, they move to the city, like, most of them come to Los Angeles and California, you know, instead of going back east. So, you know, they figured they better live there, you know, instead of bumming around, you know, back there to, you know, make something of themselves. But, you know, I like to see a big center, you know, like Indian cultural center built, you know, so they can come there, get educated, you know, by Indians, you know, educate themselves, you know, like learn the language, you know, and, you know, train them for, you know, in society or, you know, promote the Indian people. That's what I like to see.
Do you think that most colleges are way behind in Indian studies?
Most colleges don't even have Indian studies. They've got Black studies and, you know, multicultural studies, but only, not many colleges, you know, have listed on their Indian reservation or, you know, some, you know, where Indians are, they won't, you know, probably offer, you know. Like UCLA, I think it's a meeting, you know, they got a couple classmen that teach the native tongue of a certain tribe, you know. So that's, you know, like I was reading, that, you know, the Indian thing is on a trend of starting dying out, you know, because they're losing their culture, you know. You know, they're getting orientated, you know, by other cultures, you know. But, you know, like I said, they said, you know, you have to get the the old people, not old people, but, you know, older folks, they're coming in, you know, so keeping, you know, tongue going, you know, to keep our tradition going, you know, it's starting to die out now, it's starting to get infant, you know, made up, different, you know, things.
And so, an Indian girl once told me that she thought that Indians were a dying race, that probably in the next century there'd be no more Indians. Like, do you think this is true?
Well, I hope not. But, you know, I think it's starting to, you know, they're starting to, you know, and how I say that, they kind of filtering out, the, you know, like, you know, integrating other people. And I think about another year, another century, should be, it might be about, you know, only a few hands, Indians, they probably lose the culture completely.
Yeah, but I think someone once said that most of the younger Indians won't learn the language. Why do you think this is?
Because, like, right now is the best time to start, you know, see when the old folks right now, you know, they're dying off, and there's new generation right now, and they're not catching on to the, you know, the tongue right now. Like the kids in the, like, next generation, there's no, you know, they lose their tongue. I mean, you know, the native language, you know, they can't just be talking English or stuff, you know, because right now, The key for our cultures right now is where, you know, the old folks are getting involved, or the young people right today, you know, to start, you know, passing on the culture, you know, instead of, otherwise, you know, like anything, you know, forget about it, you know, it's going to die out.
Do you think now, with the movement of the young people from the reservation to the cities, do you think they have just a harder time in the cities, trying to adjust to city life or get jobs in the cities and things?
Oh, yeah, because it's kind of hard for anybody, you know, but, you know, especially Indian guys, you know, like from there to there, it's like a big change, you know. And, you know, plus they've been discriminated against, you know, and all this, you know, they kind of can't keep a job or, you know, they're not used to that. It's like a radical change, it's like that, you know. It's kind of very difficult.
You think they really need to set up training programs for the Indians that come to the city that teach them different types of jobs and things like this?
On that vocation, they got BIA funded centers down in Los Angeles, but you know, that's only just for, you know, not for Indians to take advantage of it. You know, I don't believe.
Do are you familiar with the AIM, American Indian Movement?
Uh-huh.
Do you think it's a good organization?
Well, AIM is See, there's only a few get radical, you know, like the Wounded Knee. Mostly it's trying to promote, you know, trying to better conditions of the Indian, you know, the better standard of living. Well, you know, sure they get radical, like they kind of got pissed off at the...
Oh,
kind of got teed off at the BIA building, kind of destroyed that, you know. But in general, the AIM is kind of trying to promote, you know, better standard of living, you know, educate, but a few get kind of radical, though.
Like, do you think the organization has to get radical in order to get something done?
Yes. I mean, not that radical to shoot out the police, but, you know, kind of have, you know, kind of protest, you know, maybe a petition going around, but, you know, get to do something, you know, to catch the government's eye, you know, and say, hey, we're doing wrong here, you know, something like that, you know. But like any group, if you're peaceful, you know, you can't get nothing done, you know. I mean, you go not really radical, you know, kind of get to a state that you can, you know, get potential, you know, get, you know, ready, you can explode in times, you know, so people recognize that, you know, they see your problem and grievances.
I always say, Wounded Knee, you think if they hadn't been that radical, that they'd have been ran over and thrown out of Wounded Knee a long time ago?
The reason they didn't run them over because it made a big political thing.
Too much press.
Yeah, you know, the press, you know, they kind of, you know, explode things, you know, kind of exaggerate. Otherwise, you know, like a, like, for example, if they were blacks, you know, they would have shot them all gone, you know, blew them up or something, you know. But the Indians, you know, because it would be too much political issue, you know, be too much involved, you know, because, you know, everybody, even I would have got, you know, Storm Oceanside or something, you know.
You think this is the way for the Indians to go now, is to make big political issues?
Yeah, it's the only way, because, you know, it feels the press, you know, kind of, you know, saying, you know, how come the Indians live like this, you know. Like, you know, you have a picture of Nixon eating at dinner and asking an Indian child, you know, handouts, you know, kind of get the public and people, you know, jump, you know, you know, change, you know, reservation back there. It just kills the mind back there, you know, and just God just doesn't feel like living, so they go out and, you know, shoot himself or, you know, overdose of drugs out there.
Do you think that young Indians, like the young blacks and Chicanos in the ghettos, have turned to drugs to a large extent?
Well, out there, you know, they had that peyote, you know. So, like we stand here, you know, nothing to do, you know. So, they probably get influenced by, say, trying to, you know, escape from reality, you know. So, they probably just take drugs and alcohol, you know, just trying to escape from reality.
What do you think the training program for Indians have to begin on the reservation or when they come to the city?
Well, it's both, really, but I think it should start on the reservation. Because they know the environment there, you know. Because out here, they start out here, man, you know, too many things be going on, you know, so, you know, they couldn't keep one straight mind, though. Like, out there, they can't powwow out there once in a while in LA, you know. So, you know, be too much for the mind, so they should just start on the reservation, you know, so, you know, so get prepared before they come out here.
Do you think that, I know a lot of young Indians I talked to said that they're down on tribal government. You know, how do you feel about tribal government?
Well, there's been lots of scandals, like, you know, among the council, especially Navajo, you know, they kind of, especially at on the Sioux Reservation up there, there's a guy named Wilson, Raymond Wilson. He's kind of, I don't know about him, he's kind of wanted to shoot people, you know, like, he didn't like Milton Indians, you know. I think he's trying to cover up on something, you know. Like, you know, he might lose his job, you know, because, you know, the big scandal up there wounded me, you know. So, I say most of them got, you know, trial counsel, you know, pretty straight, but, you know, like our government, you know, go anywhere.
Yeah, for sure. I think most younger Indians think that this should be more of a democracy, and well, they most of the old men rule the tribal government. And
well, they kind of got the communists, you know, they're not communists, but then they kind of got them set up like communists, like a dictatorship. Like, you know, the council rules all. And, you know, well, it's like the government of the United States. You know.
Right. if you had, what do the Indians need today? Do they need new laws or what? What do they need to bring them into the class of legal citizenship?
They need education. Really, they need education. And plus, they probably need more, you know, guidance from the tribe, you know, like, you know, get together and start, you know, fighting among themselves, chaos and all this.
Yeah, this is another thing. Why is the big fight among different groups of Indians for control? Is it for control of the Indian leadership?
I believe because, you know, they get different ideas, you know, and, you know, maybe, you know, one guy don't like his ideas, and they kind of, you know, kind of seesaw back and forth. But most Indians, like, you know, only a few Indians speak up, and most of these kind of play, you know, kind of dumb in a way. And they sit back, you know, say, well, what's going to happen, what's going to happen, you know. But, you know, people are getting involved, you know, especially Indian folks, you know, especially the tribal council.
Do you think the news media still display a bad stereotype of the Indian? Like you see on TV and, you know, running over the hills and attacking people and things like that?
It depends on the media. It can go, you know, like some media, you know, kind of promote the Indians, whether it kind of, you know, kind of say, look what they're doing now, they're having a shootout, this is not, you know, American way, you know. But others say they kind of stand up for the rights. But I say they kind of break away from the stereotype, you know, say, you know, publicize, you know, more about Indians, like, especially on TV, you know, kind of show, you know, what kind of, you know, well, some, especially, it depends on the editor and all, you know, the owner, you know, kind of, like, left wing or right wing.
Do you think Hollywood is still showing Indians in a bad light?
Yes. That's what keep me off, you know. Like Brando said, he's kind of just using the Indians for make money, you know, like she had an Indian going around, you know, that wasn't even true. Like the best the United States military force still using the Indian tactics that they used about when they're back there in the West in 1800.
Do you think that the movies and history books are Going to have to be changed drastically in order to give the Indians a fair shake, and it really went on.
You know, it's never going to change because Columbus discovered America, you know. Even Nixon believes that. It never gets, that could be like a night and day, you know, say, if we take all, you know, even the Columbus Day, man, Columbus Day.
Right. But they never have an American Indian Day.
They don't. You might have, you know, like a certain group might have an Indian Day, you know, kind of.
Yeah. But there's no national day.
Like, you know, Indians discovered America, you know, like Alcatraz, man. They wouldn't even give them that sneaking island. They was planning to put a cultural center up there, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the feds came in there and see you later, you know. But, you know, I like to say, they would never be able to change. They might change just a few phrases, but it's so oriented, like, you know, at mom's apple pie, you know, like Columbus Day, you know.
Yeah, like, you think that our culture will still be oriented towards white
history
and not
telling some money.
And not telling it like it really was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, they've been teaching the kids, you know, Columbus Day, you know, see them watch cartoons or something, you know. Who's Columbus, you know? Anyone that's called America. And back there said, can't change it, you know. It's like here to stay, you know, you might be able to change it some book, but they ain't gonna change it.
I think one Indian told me the idiocy of that is that teaching Indian kids that Columbus discovered America.
If you really get down to it, Indians kind of messed up. They kind of helped the settlers plant corn, you know. Well, you know, sooner or later they would have came anyway, so. But, you know, how it is. Especially today, you know, they kind of build it into this white culture, you know. And I'm trying to break away from it. But let's face it, you have to have money, that's white culture right there. You can be far no Indian, but you still need to live in the United States. But, I'd like to have a term, you know, to come around and have a Indian nation, you know, like this government here and Indian nation doing themselves, you know, instead of, you know, from the interior, you know. But, you know, they kind of, whatever they say, they have to do it. But, you know, most people don't see the Indian getting discriminated against. And most people think, you know, Indians all they want some fire and water and money and just goof off and all that. But actually, there's plenty of people suffering, you know, from the reservation. Even in Los Angeles, maybe even here in town, you know, because of maybe on the welfare or something, you know, but they really need help, you know, get some form of education so you make them themselves, you know. It's, you know, that's what actually.
You think the white man passed by the Indian reservation and failed to put the blame where it belongs and just say, look at those stupid Indians living out there like that, instead of putting the blame on where it belongs, on the government?
That's right. That's what I feel, you know. I'm not considered kind of radical militant, you know. And when I get started, I let emotion go, you know. Yeah. Like one of the things that about wounded knee, I read my wounded knee, one guy said, this story is so sad, you know. This ain't how the West is won, but how it's lost. So that's a pretty good phrase, you know. And it's helpful too today. Like a reservation. Oh, man. If they had more, I'd like to see more cultural centers, though, you know, some promotion for, you know, some education, you know, teaching Indians, you know, like more meetings, like workshops, or anything, you know, try to educate them, you know, get them together instead of they all wondering, you know, they lost in the maze, like, you know, the next thing they're going
to do. You think this is the answer?
Yeah, this and more government support, you know, more funds so they can raise, you know. And, you know, it is, of course, they're the heart of it. So, you know, they can't goof off, you know, live off the government. You know, they have to get on their own feet, you know. You know, they have to get together. There's so many factors going, you know. So, all many kind of combination you work with, the Indians got to stand up for themselves. They just can't sit down, you know, let other people do the work.
But they have to have outside help from the government.
Yeah, obviously.
Do you think it would be a good policy if right now the government would take and give Indians a blanket amount of money to get them started?
No, that would be too hard. You know, come, most of you just go with it. See, I first got to educate the Indian, then you can support, so he can support himself, then he gets, get a little helping hand. But, you know, if you give money, certain Indians money, they go out and maybe drink it up or, they kind of give him a little bit to help him out, but you can't, don't try to cherry him, give him charity. Mm-hmm. So, the Indian has to come halfway and the government has to come halfway. Indian can't stay back here and expect the government, some people are like that, though. In any society, any place.
Yeah, that's true.
Like some folks I know.
Right. It can't be all welfare.
It sure can't.
If you were, right now, if you were in D.C. and ahead of the new policy, what would you do?
Well, I'm kind of get new staff members right now.
Okay, now you were saying that if you were in charge, what your policy would be to get the Indians on his feet again?
Well, like I said, I've seen an advisor and evaluated, like any big Indian population, I go over there, evaluate and see what they need and take away what, people using stuff, like people like use people, So, I try to, interface, you can't do that, but, just if I was, go out there and take away the stuff that people don't use, and get people who need it, and I can distribute the stuff evenly. And then I'll set up a major council, for most tribes, depending on how big a tribe they're, like a senator or something, gotta have, rather convention, so discuss a problem, we'll work something out, I can just, smooth everything and get it. That's probably even major, other ideas that I do too.
Would you put this all in Indian hands? But do you think Indian can make the best policy for Indians?
They have to, because in other words, like a BIA, like a council, like a National Indian Alliance or something like that, they have a Mexican American Federation, African Federation, and then some kind of to govern themselves. On a level, sort of, keep asking some more than other people. Especially, I put a strict law taking alcohol on the reservation. Because they got a law right now, but, I think they that and take off the drugs from the Indians and they give them back on the feet. Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
Okay, Mary, I really thank you for the interview.
Sure.
Get a hell of a lot out of it.
I enjoyed myself.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.